Would you please stop playing that song? You guys, would you please stop singing that same song over and over again? He's dead, Andrew. I don't care what you think might have happened or what might happen. He's gone, okay? He's gone. Peter, if you say that one more time, I don't care what he said to you. He's dead. Don't you guys get it? He's not coming back. Stop. Stop, Peter. Stop. Man, I quit believing in fairy tales a long time ago. I know what happened with Lazarus. But does anybody really know what happened to Lazarus? Do you know, Andrew? No, you don't know what happened. And it doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove a thing, Peter. Look, don't you guys realize they're coming for us next? Doesn't it sink in that he was supposed to be a Messiah and not die? He was supposed to lead a revolution, not get crucified? Who crucifies a Messiah? I don't want to sing the song again, Peter. I don't want to sing it again. He's gone and he's not coming back. I wish he would. I wish he would, Andrew. But it's not going to happen. I miss him. I miss him already. You remember that time that we came to him? We were out there in the middle of nowhere. And you guys remember this? And it was all those people showing up to listen to him teach. And I came up to him and I said, Jesus, man, these people are going to go crazy. Go ahead, send them home before they get too hungry. You remember what he said to me, Peter? He said, you feed them. Man, I was so mad. I actually wanted to punch the guy. You feed them, he said. And you remember, we passed out all those bread. We stole that little kid's lunch. And we passed it out, and we had baskets left over. When I came back up to him, you remember what he did, Andrew? He started laughing, and he ran up and gave me one of those big bear hugs, and he wrestled me to the ground. Remember, he was tickling me and punching me and laughing so hard, man. It was so good. And I just looked at him, Peter. And you know what I said to him? I said, fine. But what are we going to eat tomorrow? He just laughed and said, John, just let today's trouble be enough for today. Well, guys, today's trouble is more than enough for today. So here we are sitting here like a bunch of morons in the dark, hoping for what? I mean, we might as well just go ahead and drink the wine. It might as well be good for something. Because dead people, they don't come back.
Have you not heard? He is risen. Listen to the words of the scripture from Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and do you not know the things that have happened here in these last days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, on the third day, since all this took place, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of the angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you stand and join us as we sing a song of praise? Christ the Lord is risen today. It is hymn number 159.
Risen today, amen. Good morning. Good morning. We gather here this Resurrection Sunday, proclaiming and celebrating that the tomb is empty. We want to welcome you here to First Baptist Church of Elon on this holiest day in the Christian calendar. We hope your family and friends have enjoyed this beautiful weather that God has blessed us with outside, but knowing that behind those clouds the sun still rises, and the sun has risen indeed. We want to welcome any guests that are here with us today. We ask that you'll fill out our visitor card located in the pew in front of you. You can drop that in the offering plate as it's passed around later on in the service. We also encourage you to look at our calendar on the Salmon colored sheets that give you a description of some of the things going on in the life of our church. Many opportunities. I do want to remind you that we do not have any Sunday night activities tonight. We want to you to celebrate this risen day with your family and friends this evening. As we begin our time of worship this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Pray with me. Out of the darkness of grief and despair comes a message of hope. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We run to the tomb to see for ourselves, and it is true. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We hear a call, a voice saying our name, and we know our Lord is with us now and always. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We lift this prayer in our Savior's name who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Share with you a joke that one of my former youths, when I was a youth and college minister in Buies Creek, told me. Annika Webster was one of those teens who just had a quirky sense of humor. And she came running into the youth room one night and said, guys, you got to hear this joke. I just heard the best joke of my life, she said. She said, okay, here it goes. She cleared her throat and she said, okay, so once upon a time in a happy little swamp, there was a wide-mouthed frog. And little wide-mouthed frog came hopping along the swamp area and talked to all the different animals. He hopped up next to the squirrel and said, Mr. Squirrel, what do you eat? And Mr. Squirrel said, oh, I eat nuts and berries sometimes, things like that. And she goes, oh, okay. Then he hopped up next to the fish and said, Mr. Fish, what do you eat? And the fish said, oh, I eat all kinds of things, pond scum and other little fish. And the frog said, oh, okay. Then he hopped over to the water moccasin, old man water moccasin, and said, old man water moccasin, what do you eat? And old man water moccasin said, oh, I eat wide mouth frogs. And the wide mouth frog said, oh, you do you? Sometimes you gotta know when to rein things in, when to minimize the situation. Sometimes you need to know when to keep it low key and keep it simple. But today is not one of those days, is it? Today is not a day for little mouth frogs to say little things. Today is a day to cut loose, to let go, to do it big and do it bold, as our choir is already teaching us. That on a day like this, you make a big deal out of a big thing. Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Day. A day to remember that the tomb is empty. Not was empty, is still empty. That Christ is risen indeed. That he is alive. He is alive. Today is a day to think about that. And one of the great things that I enjoy as a preacher about Resurrection Sunday is the surprises, the unexpected lessons, the things that happen that you didn't see coming. And every year it's something. Sometimes it's through one of the songs or through a prayer. Sometimes it's through something that happens in the service that didn't happen the way I thought it would happen, but it turned out better, more meaningful. This year, the surprise for me in Easter is the scripture. Now, you probably have already looked at your bulletin and are scratching your head because it's a no-brainer when they teach you how to preach in seminary. On Easter, you preach what? Jesus resurrected. You read from the Gospels. You read about women at the tomb. You read about linen cloths folded up neatly. You read about angels saying, he is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? We heard that scripture at the beginning, but that's not the sermon. The surprise for me was this passage from the prophet Isaiah. You see, we preach from the lectionary, and so churches throughout the world, it is a tradition, it has been for a long, long time, that every 3 years or so, you hear this word from the prophet Isaiah. It's not preached on, it's read somewhere else. It's what I call a mid-card scripture passage for Easter. But let's elevate this. Let's look at this word from the prophet Isaiah, and let's look at it honestly. We're looking at it as Christians. We're looking at it in light of the resurrection. And so we do not hear it as the ancient people of Isaiah's day heard it. We do not see it as the ancient people of Isaiah's day saw it. But we hear it with Christian ears, baptized and full of water. And we read it with eyes covered by the lens of Christ. And hear this word, because what Isaiah proclaims to us is this message that if the resurrection is about anything, it's about second chances. It's about a chance to live again, to start over with life lived to the full. Isaiah writes, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I'm about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord." Isaiah spoke these words to a people enslaved, a people in exile, a people who were broken and hurting and felt that it was all hopeless. And they could not imagine in their wildest dreams things could be better, that things could change for them. Their life was shackled into a tedious, monotonous, laborious existence where they could never really enjoy or live life to the full. And yet he proclaims the mystery of resurrection, of hope, of second chances. This message that what has happened need not continue to happen. And that where your life may seem to be a waste and a squander, and you're spinning your wheels in this exiled existence, it ain't going to keep happening that way. It says, "Behold, a new day comes." That is a powerful message. I think Isaiah teaches again that resurrection is not just some theological construct. It's not just some thing we profess once a year, but that it is a reality that breathes life into our existence, that when we understand resurrection, we are transformed. We too know a new day and a second chance and a time to start over. Let me tell you about this dream that I had some time ago. And I'm not one to put a lot of stock in dreams and their meanings. I like to fool around with that. But I know that I have wild dreams all the time. Vivid dreams, strange dreams. I can usually remember them pretty well. But a little thing affects a dream. What did I hear right before I went to bed? What movie did I watch? What book was I reading? What were my wife and I talking about before our eyes finally got heavy and closed? Sometimes your dreams are affected by what you had for supper. But this dream I took as a dream that was for me. In the dream, I was lying on my bed. And it occurred to me that it was my deathbed. That I was lying there breathing the final bits of air that my life would ever enjoy. And I was fading and growing weak. And it was colder and colder in the room as each second ticked away. I could hear a clock in the background. And it seemed to me like a countdown. And I looked. And there, encircling my bed, were these dark, shadowy figures. Creepy. surrounded by family or friends, but by these apparitions. And I thought to myself in the dream, these must be all of my mistakes. These must be the images of every bad decision I've made, every wrong turn I've taken, every terrible thing I've done in my life. These must be my simple actions. My actions come back to haunt me into the grave. But I looked again, and it became clear as they drew a little closer and encircled my deathbed chamber that they were not my terrible actions of my past. They were not actions at all. They were the actions never acted upon. It became clear to me that they were not the things I had done, but the things I had never done. They were the hopes never lived out, the dreams never pursued. They were the good things that were actually accomplished, the big plans that faded away into becoming nothing more than good intentions. And as they drew even closer, it was clear to me now that there was on the one at the center, at the foot of the bed, a sign that read quite clearly, regret. Regret. They were the book never written, the sermon that you never had the guts to preach. They were the person you never forgave. They were that one you never loved quite enough to tell them about the love of Jesus. They were that big idea that you said tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. That path never taken. And they all pointed their bony, distorted fingers in my direction. And I heard a voice from the one called Regret that said, "We never lived because you never lived. We never lived because you never lived." I awoke shaking, sweating, heart pounding. The hair on the back of my neck was standing because it seemed to me as though even as I was awake, the dream was somehow present and with me in the room. And then I remembered this word, resurrection. And I remembered that I was not on my deathbed after all. You know how it takes a second or two to fully realize you're awake. I remember that I ain't dead yet. And like Jake Roberts would often quote, "My history is not my destiny." And that tomorrow is not defined by the days that came before. And I realized that there is still life to live, plans to fulfill, dreams to accomplish, hopes to live out. There are days ahead to do and to not simply waste away. The prophet Isaiah says, a day like that is coming. He was dreaming ahead to Messiah, dreaming ahead to the reality of the resurrection where we all get a second chance to live, to do life well. This is where I think the resurrection becomes less of a theory or a theology, less of a story in the books, and more of a thing that changes the way we live this life. It's not just about eternal life. It's not just about eternal existence in the clouds, in the sky, pie and pie, while we die. That it defines the way we live these moments on this earth, on this planet, in this reality as well. That in light of the resurrection, we are told we can actually enjoy life. Enjoy the fruits of our hands. Dreams can be accomplished. Big plans carried out. And then in light of the resurrection, we say to ourselves, you know what? I will read my child that story one more time. It matters. In light of the resurrection, we work a little harder on our marriages. And we spend a little more time with our children. And as children, we know we don't want to grow up and say, I regret not loving and cherishing those moments with mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. In light of the resurrection, we say, you know what? I'm going to go after that job. I'm going to go after that career. I'm going to go after that big dream. And I'm not going to say tomorrow, or that's too big for me, or I can't reach that far up into the sky. You know, Campbell University's motto is Ad Astra Per Aspera, to the stars through difficulties. In light of the resurrection, we realize that's impossible. That's a possibility. In light of the resurrection, we say, you know what? I'm not going to put this off anymore. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell her about the resurrection, that they might have life as well. In light of the resurrection, we say, you know, I could do this thing one more time. I could go one more round with this addiction, with this guilty pleasure. I could go one more day and it'll be all right. Tomorrow I'll fix it. Tomorrow I'll get it all straightened out. But in the light of the resurrection, we say, today is today. If not now, never. If not here, nowhere. The resurrection challenges us to say, God wants me to live life after all. Life to the full. To love deeply. To live fully. To kiss the bride one more time before we leave the door. To spend time in the body of Christ. And to not let anything overshadow that wonderful, beautiful fellowship that, yeah, we call church. And to say, maybe the moments we spend together in this place or outside of this place, but with the people of this place, maybe those moments really matter deeply and are worth spending. I don't know what it is you need to hear here. I don't know what it is you need to have preached at you or to you or with you, because we really don't know each other like we know ourselves, do we? Only you know you, and you know what you need to know. I don't know why you're here today. Some of you, you're here because you're here every Sunday. It's a place you wouldn't miss. You're going to be here. Some of you, maybe you're here because your mom or your dad drug you here, kicking and screaming. Or maybe your husband or your wife drug you here, kicking and screaming. Maybe you're here because it's Easter and that's just what you're supposed to do. You go to church, you hunt for eggs, you eat the eggs, you have some ham or turkey or whatever. Maybe you don't even know why you're here. Maybe you thought you always knew why you came to this place, but today, you're just kind of thinking. But you know you. And what I want you to also know is the power of the resurrection. That God desires for you to live your life to the full. You remember that verse I always quote, John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The thief wants to rob you of your joy, to rob you of your big plans and your dreams, to steal life from you, to kill your hopes and dreams, to kill your relationships, your marriages, your friendships, to kill your fellowship within the body of Christ, the church. He's a thief. But the resurrection proclaims that the thief can't keep the tomb of your life full forever. And resurrection is about second chances. Second chance to live. To live again. The hymn reminds us that He lives. He lives so that we might live as well. Would you stand and sing together, if you're able, our hymn, our offertory hymn, He Lives. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3, number 533 in your hymnals.
Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and your gift to us of Him to save our sins. Bless these offerings and bless us to thy service. Amen.
season of Lent. Not because it hasn't been true, but because it's been my way of reminding myself how sorrowful the season of Lent is, how kind of painful it is. But today, it's not Lent. Today is Resurrection Sunday. So let's say, God is good.
God is good.
And all the time.
And all the time.
So good. As we come now to this meal, today it is not a sorrowful meal, but a meal of celebration. Celebrating the life of Jesus Christ given for you, but also living for you. We're told in the scriptures that on the night that Jesus was betrayed and arrested, he was with his disciples in the upper room, and they were sharing in the Passover, the Seder meal. And he took the bread and broke it and passed it among his disciples, saying to them, "This is my body, given for you. Take and eat." And in the same way, he took the cup. And he blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my own blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." As we share in this meal today, let us do so with a smile on our face and joy in our hearts. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, King of the universe, praise you, bless you, and thank you for this meal. May we, by these powerful symbols, be awakened to new life. That we be reminded of your promise of life to the full. That we might become grateful
for you, in joy, in hope, in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You are invited to join us and sing any of the words of the Hallelujah Chorus that you know.
Thank you.